morning, John chapter number 10. I appreciate you being here in the house of God. We've come back to our New Testament book, the Gospel according to John, in chapter number 10. If you're keeping notes with me, I've come down to verse number 22. We finished down through verse number 21. We pick up our study on verse 22, and I'm preaching through the rest of the chapter. We'll not get through it this morning. I know you're shocked about that, so on. God willing, we'll be here all day long this morning and tonight. I'm just going to skip to verse number 41 to get our title, and then we'll begin our message this morning. John chapter 10, verse 22 to verse 42. I'm going to 41 to get our title. Men resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. Notice the two words, this man. It's the man Christ Jesus we're talking about. And I want to preach to you all day long today on this man. Let's pray together and we share these thoughts with you. Our Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the privilege to preach. Thank you for the privilege to be called your child. Thank you for the privilege just to have life. And I pray that you'll remove all distractions. And I pray, dear God, that you will speak to our hearts. I pray that you will help us to do business with you. I pray that folks who are lost will be saved, and we who are saved will be encouraged. Would you speak to us in a clear voice? And may you be the preacher today. Forgive my sin. Help me to be clean. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to these verses in this study through the Gospel of John, the Lord has been giving His message on being the Good Shepherd. This is in the opening 21 verses of this chapter. And the Good Shepherd who gives His life for the sheep. Now, during this time when He's giving this message, there is a division among the Jews concerning the Lord Jesus. Some of them in verses 19 to 21, some of them said He had a devil. While others said, can a devil open the eyes of a blind man? Now, in the passage before us now, it was the feast of the dedication. This is found in verses 22 and following. It was the feast of dedication, and it was winter, the Bible says. Concerning this, just by means of introduction, J. Vernon McGee gives some insight. He said the Feast of Tabernacles was in the last part of October. The Feast of Dedication, which is the one that's going on now, was in the last part of December. So there was a two-month interval that's taking place here. This feast celebrated the time when Judas Maccabeus delivered the temple from Antiochus Epiphanes, the Syrian. You say, is that how you say it? I don't know. You don't either. I'll just act like I do and go on. Who polluted, now don't get me tickled now, okay? This took place in 167 BC and was still celebrated during our Lord's day when He was walking on planet Earth. Notice the Bible says, and it was winter. Jesus is through with the nation. Because from here on in the Gospel of John, there'll be a change that takes place where He talks to His own. He will not make another public call. It's now too late for the harvest, so to speak. The winter has arrived. The Lamb of God is being shut up in preparation to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And He says this, this is just by introduction here. Friend, may I remind you that you can play at this thing too long. Winter is coming for you. There will come a day when you won't be able to witness. If you're going to do anything for Him, you'd better do it now. If you've never sincerely accepted Christ as your Savior, may I remind you that winter can come for that as well. There does come a time when it's too late, my beloved, too late to be saved. You can persist in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ so long that finally you will be unable to accept Him. The prophet spoke of this eventuality in Jeremiah 8:20. It says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. In these verses before us, the Lord Jesus Christ is once again on display for our attention. You'll notice when you read this passage, verses 22 down to verse number 42, let me just paraphrase what it's about and then I'll start with point number one. As you read these verses, you'll notice the Lord walks in the temple of Solomon's porch. And the Jews ask Him to tell them plainly if you be the Christ. Tell us plainly, are you Christ? Are you the Messiah? To this the Lord said, I already told you, but you won't believe it. And He said, the reason you won't believe it is because you're not my sheep. He claimed to be one with the Heavenly Father who holds his sheep in his mighty hand. The Jews took up stones to kill him, and he referred them to the works that prove his identity to be the Son of God. They seek to kill him again. And basically he tells them, for what works are you going to kill me for? This is all in these verses. The rejectors are hating him. They can't stand him. He has proven by his works, by his words, that he is who he says he is. And they say, tell us plainly. He already has. He's opened blinded eyes. He's done all these miracles. And they say, tell us plainly if you're Messiah. He said, I've already told you, but you just won't listen. And he said, I and my Father are one. And he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Father, which is greater than all, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He's saying, I have my sheep in my hand, and my sheep are in my Father's hand, and my Father and I are so close, we're one. They're in my hand. They're in the Father's hand. They'll never perish. They take up stones and they're getting ready to kill him. He said, okay, why are you going to cast a stone? For which one of my works are you going to do it? What have I done that proves that you're right and I'm wrong? They hate him. They can't stand him. They seek to kill him again. He escaped out of their hand, the Bible said. And he went beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. By the way, this is the third point. I'm not going to get to it tonight. I can't wait to get to it. Be back tonight. But as we think about this man, let me give you several things about him. I'm only going to get to point number one today. First of all, as we look at this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Messiah, the Christ, there's several things that we're going to study about him today. Number one, we see first of all the traits of his sheep, the traits or characteristics of this man's sheep. You know, it's interesting what the Lord does in this passage. There's an interval here. He's been talking about being the good shepherd. And he starts talking in that passage about different things that summarize his sheep. Now it's a different passage, and he's speaking, and he continues to speak. And it's interesting what he does. He brings out some more characteristics of his sheep. But an interesting thing he does is this. He repeats a lot of it. A lot of these traits, now not all of them, but several of these traits that I'm going to bring back out to you, we preached on them in the opening 21 verses. But as I was studying this, the Lord just didn't give me peace to pass over it. It was as if the Lord said, I'm repeating it for a reason, Jody. There's a reason I said it earlier in the chapter, and there's a reason I'm saying it again. If I repeat it, so should you. Amen. So let me just give you some of these traits of this man's sheep. If you're saved today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, these are the traits in your life. This is who you are. And if these do not summarize you, you're not his sheep. And you need to check up and you need to become one today. Number one, first trait of this man's sheep. Number one now, we're going to look at these verses together. First of all, his sheep believe on him. Now, look at verse number 25 and following. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe me not. This is after they said in verse 24, tell us plainly if thou be the Christ. Tell us plainly. I told you and you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Look at verse number 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. Look at verse number 36. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. If I do the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. You say, Jody, what are you doing? I'm reading between the lines. That's what I'm doing. You say, what are you talking about? The first thing God showed me about the traits of this man's sheep
They believe on him. Because see what he's saying here. He's saying that his sheep believe his works. They believe his word. They believe he's Christ. They believe he's the Messiah. They believe he's the only way to heaven. Can I get an amen there, please? See, this is what he's saying. The word believe here means to have faith in. It means to entrust, get this, it means to entrust one's spiritual well-being to him. That's what it means. That's what that word believe means. The bottom line is this, the Lord's sheep entrust their spiritual well-being to him. They have faith in him. They commit to his trust. They believe the shepherd. Acts chapter 16 verses 30 and 31 says, and brought them out and saying, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. First trait about this man's sheep, they believe on the Son of God. They entrust their spiritual well-being to his trust and his care. But on the other hand, the Lord is dealing with these unbelieving Jews, and he said, the reason you're not listening is because you don't believe me. The reason that you're not going is because you don't believe me. And in verse number 38, God showed me something here. He says, but if I do, in other words, the works, he said, if you don't believe my words, look at my works. Believe me for the work's sake. This is the Father's work. You can't deny it. Believe, believe, believe. Then in verse number 38, he says, but if I do these works, though ye believe not me, believe the works. Notice this now, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. You say, Jody, what do you get? I get right there the heart of God. God saying, the Lord saying, you don't understand what you're doing to yourself. I am him. I am the way to heaven. I am Messiah. And if you don't believe my words, believe my works, that you may know and you may believe. He's speaking to unbelievers. He's saying, I want you to know the truth. I want you to believe this. Don't you see his heart coming out here? And may I say this to you, unbelievers have no excuse. They have no excuse. Because the works of God prove the truth of God. And may I say to you this morning that if you are part of his sheep, if you're one of this man's sheep, it's because you believe on him. Amen. That's a trait of his sheep. Let me give you trait number two. They don't only believe on him. Number two, they belong to him. Some of this is repeat now. We're getting into kind of the repetition here from earlier in the chapter. But because God repeats it, I'm going to repeat it because I'm his messenger, okay? Verse number 27, notice the language here. He said in verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How's this verse start? He didn't say the sheep. He said my sheep. My sheep. The Lord said, these sheep are mine. You know what that means? That means they belong to him. And may I say this to you? That means he owns them. May I quit saying them and say us, because I'm glad I can say I'm part of his sheep this morning. He owns me. He bought me. I am his and he is mine. And when he looks at me, he says, that's one of mine right there. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't it a blessing for Jesus Christ to look at you and say, he's mine? Glory to God, friends. The Bible says in Psalm 79:13, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. Psalm 95:7, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Psalm 100 verse 3, know ye that the Lord he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You say, Jody, what right does God have to tell me what to do? I'll tell you what right he has to tell you to do. The shed blood of Calvary. That's the right he has to tell you what to do. He owns you. If you're saved, if you're his sheep, he owns you. He bought you. And he has every right to tell us what to do in our life. Number one, traits. The traits of this man's sheep, these sheep believe on him. His sheep belong to him. Number three, another trait. This is another repeat here. I'll tell you when it's a repeat and when it's not, okay? From earlier in the chapter. I'm talking about our last sermon where he repeats it from earlier in the chapter. Number three trait, we hear his voice. We see this in verse 27, powerful verse. My sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. Now, keep in mind that the word hear here, the word hear here, and so on, that's two different hears. The word hear here, I'm a stutterer, but I did not just stutter there, okay? I'm a hear here, okay? This word here means that they understand. They know it's him. Now, I've already preached on this, so I'm not going to dwell long here, but I am going to say some things here. Remember the illustration I gave you earlier, if you were here during the earlier chapter sermon that I preached. A man in Australia was arrested and charged with stealing a sheep. But he claimed emphatically that it was one of his own that had been missing for many days. And when the case went to court, the judge was puzzled, not knowing how to decide the matter. Is it his or is it not? At last he asked, this judge did something interesting, he asked that the sheep be brought into the courtroom, the animal. Then he ordered the plaintiff to step outside and call the animal, and the sheep made no response except to raise its head and look frightened. It looked scared when it heard that one voice coming. The judge then instructed the defendant, the one who said, yes, that's mine, it's mine. He instructed the defendant to go to the courtyard and call the sheep. When the accused man began to make his distinctive call, the sheep bounded toward the door. It was obvious that he recognized the familiar voice of his master because a sheep has a very interesting quality, a trait. That's what I'm calling it, a trait here. They recognize their master's voice. They will not respond to anybody's voice except their master's. And when this took place, the judge said, his sheep knows him. Case dismissed. The sheep made the difference. May I say this to you? Oliver Green said it well. He said, in spite of the fact that sheep are said to be the most stupid of animals, they have some remarkable characteristics. For instance, they have a singular faculty to hear and recognize the voice of their shepherd. A tiny day-old lamb, day-old, among thousands of sheep will recognize the voice of its mother at a day old. In the same way, believers know the voice of God. They can, something's not right about that. Amen. They know when the shepherd's speaking. And they understand and they hear, that's good that Jesus is coming back. That's good what he's saying right there. They recognize him. See, on the other hand, these unbelieving Jews refused to believe the Lord because they would not hear him. And the reason they would not hear him and listen to him is because they weren't one of his sheep. Now you say, Jody, what's the point here? You show me somebody who denies what the Lord Jesus Christ says, and I show you somebody lost on their way to hell. It's that simple. You show me somebody who just says, he's just a good man. You show me somebody like we met on visitation that said, heaven's not real. Jesus is, on visitation this week. You show me somebody like that, I'll show you somebody who's not a sheep in the fold of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you know, do you hear the shepherd's voice?
Do you recognize that's Jesus? That's truth. That's right. That's another trait. Let me give you trait number four. This is another repeat. Not everything I'm saying is repeat. I'm just saying the major thought. The traits of this man's sheep, they believe on him. They belong to him. They hear his voice. Number four, they are known of him. This is found in verse 27. I've given them, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Look at verse number 27, middle of the verse. I know them. The word know here means he has knowledge of. He understands. He knows his own sheep so much that he calls them by their name earlier in this chapter in verse number 3. That verse says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He knows my name. He knows my name. In other words, this is a personal knowledge. It's not just a group knowledge. It's an individual knowledge. He knows his sheep individually. F.B. Meyer said, the Eastern shepherd knows all the particulars of each of his sheep. In genealogy, its defects, its temper, its taste, and embodies someone of these in the name that he gives it. In other words, over in the Eastern country, so to speak, shepherds back in this day, they knew everything about their sheep. If it was cut, if it was maimed, if it has spot on it, well, it knows everything about it. Everything about it. The story that I gave previous, I'm going to give it again here, is the individual sheep in a flock all look alike to the untrained eye. But a good shepherd, however, can tell them apart often because of their defects and peculiar traits. A man who was tending a large flock explained this to a Christian friend who expressed surprise at his him being familiar with each animal. This shepherd said, "See that sheep over there? Notice how its toe is in a little. The one behind it has a squint. The next one has a patch of wool off its back. Ahead is one with a distinguishing black mark, while the one closest to us has a small piece torn out of its ear." Observing all of them, the believer thought about Christ, the chief shepherd, who also knows the individual weaknesses and failings of his flock and watches over the members with discerning love and sympathetic understanding. The fact of the matter is this, what he's saying about the sheep here, he says, they believe me, they belong to me, they know my voice, and I know all about them. May I say this to you? There's nothing going on in your life that the shepherd does not know about. Nothing. And as I told my Sunday school class this morning when I was preaching on another sermon, but this same thought come out that he knows us, he knows about us, that should comfort those who are going through trouble. But that can convict those who are trying to live in sin. He knows. He knows his sheep. This is another trait about them. Matthew 10:30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Number five, trait number five, we follow him. This is found in verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. The word follow, this is another repeat. Now the next two are not, okay? The word follow means to accompany or be in the same way with, to go the same direction, okay? One man said this can hardly mean that they will never respond to the call of the false shepherds. In other words, it is possible for a sheep to be deceived for a moment, okay? But that the redeemed of Christ will not absolutely, unreservedly, completely give themselves over to a false teacher. It's impossible. They don't do it. Because God said, my sheep will follow me. That's what God said. You know what that means? That means this. Rather, there will be some following of the true shepherd. This is one of the evidences of being a sheep in his fold. You show me somebody who puts themselves persistently under the leadership, teaching, and influence of one who teaches contrary to the message of the Bible and contrary to Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? Show me somebody who persistently puts themselves under that, and I show you somebody who's not a sheep. That's Bible. You say, what are you talking about?
I'm saying this, as Harry Ironside said, so then first his sheep know his voice, secondly he knows them, but thirdly they follow him. There's no use to profess to be a sheep of Christ unless you follow him. Christ means so much to those who are truly born again that their souls delight to follow him. Do you follow him? Is he precious to you? We do not become sheep by following Jesus. It's the opposite. We follow him because we belong to him. Having been saved, we manifest that by following him. There are a great many people who bear the Christian name who are not really born of God. Oh, I prayed a prayer, but they never follow God. They never follow Jesus. They don't want anything to do with him. They're fooling themselves. They're not a sheep, friends. One man said, verse 27, gave rise among Puritan theologians to the two marks of Christ's sheep, the mark on the ears and the mark on the feet. In other words, true sheep in the good shepherd's fold listen to with their ears and follow with their feet. The shepherd, there's a change is what I'm trying to say in a Christian's life. There's too many empty professions. This is not trying to get people to doubt, friends. You should know me better than that by now. But there's too many people who said, well, I think I prayed when I was a kid. I don't really remember it, but I don't need church. I don't want anything to do with the Bible. I mean, it's Jesus stuff. I mean, it's good for somebody else, not good for me. That's a lost person, friends. Amen. I'll amen myself today because I'm telling you the truth. God said, Jesus said, if you are my sheep, you are going to manifest a change in your life. That doesn't mean that you're always going to be manifesting it. It doesn't mean that you can't trip up. No, but somehow, some way in your life, you're going to have a desire and you're going to follow Jesus to some point or some fashion. It's that simple. Because that's what sheep do. They follow the shepherd. That's what they do. John R. Rice told a story. He said, once a giant of a man, you know he wasn't talking about me, but he said, once a giant of a man, a drunken fighter, rough and tough, was saved in Shamrock, Texas. He eagerly began to read the Bible and would often come to me, his pastor, this is John R. Rice speaking, for answers for Bible questions. One day he came, eyes bright with tears, to tell how some old cronies had determined to get him drunk again. One arrogant young man had even thrown beer just into his face, thinking that the smell of it would draw him to drink with them. And he said, and he told this man who threw this beer in his face, he said, I'm not mad at you. I'm just sorry for you. He said, now you know I could break you in two with my two hands. And once I would have done so. But now I'm not mad at all. I'll pray for you. He told John R. Rice his story. Then John R. Rice said, he turned to me, this big fellow who had so many fights, and he said, and I quote, Brother Rice, something sure has happened to me. Something sure has happened to me. And John R. Rice said, the results of the new birth are not always so quickly seen, but they are seen. Amen. Amen. I'm saying, even though they may not be readily seen, they can't be clearly seen all the time, there's an evidence that's a sheep. And one of the evidences is this. They would be following the shepherd to some degree or fashion. Let me give you letter F. That's number six. Yes, number six. This may be as far as I get today, or I may keep going. Number six, they receive eternal life from him. This is found in verse 28. Notice the language. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Notice this. I give unto them. Who's them? The sheep. Now this is not a repeat. This is a new trait here, okay? I give unto them eternal life. Notice this, the Bible says, I give unto them eternal life. Notice he did not say they earn it. He did not say they pay for it. He said, I give it to them. You realize this is just another verse that shows that eternal life is a gift of God. Harry Ironside said, do you not see? It's not probationary life. It's not temporary life. It's eternal life, and it's given by God. God only gives one kind of life, and it's everlasting. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm saying this, if you're saved today, you are part of his sheep. What's that mean? That means he has given you everlasting life. That's what he's given you. That's a part of your trait. Let me end with this. This is the final trait. This is how far I wanted to get.
Letter G, number 7. Final trait in these verses before we go to point number 2 tonight. Final trait, his sheep shall never perish. We see this in verse 28. Notice this. I have given them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Notice in this verse how the Lord says the sheep will never perish, and no one can pluck them out of the Lord's hand. Now he then said his Father's greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of his Father's hand. It's been said that this is one promise given two ways. He's saying they will not perish, and nobody can take them away from me. This is another passage of Scripture that plainly teaches eternal life, the eternal security of the believer. The sheep are in the hand of God, safe and secure. One man said the devil may annoy, but he cannot seize a Christian. J. Vernon McGee said, if he starts with 100, he will not end with 99. I like that. If he starts with 100, he's not going to come home with 99. I mean, this is due to the fact that we are in God's hand. No one can steal from God. 1 Peter 1:3-5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept, guarded by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oliver Green, what a man of God. Here's what he said. I like it. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That phrase, the Greek reads, any person or anyone. That is, neither man, devil, angel, nor any other person or thing shall pluck them out of my hand. Suppose we let the Holy Spirit give further explanation through the pen of Paul, and he quotes here Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and following. Listen to this. What shall we then say to these things? If God shall be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice the position of the sheep. Oliver Green says, the sheep do not hold the shepherd, but the hand of the shepherd holds the sheep. Instead of the believer trying to hold on or trying to hold out, we need to realize we are in the shepherd's hand, and the fact that his mighty hand holds us is the secret of the Christian's victory. It is the spiritual birthright of every blood-washed, born-again believer to enjoy this sweet peace, the gift of God's love, God's grace, God's eternal life, God's power. If you're a sheep, you're always a sheep. It'll never change. You are safe and secure in the hand of Almighty God. Now you say, Jody, that teaches you can do anything you want to. Then you don't know your Bible, excuse me. Because the Word of God plainly teaches that if you are a child of God, you cannot sin. That doesn't mean it's impossible to sin. It means you cannot practice sin. That's in the present tense. You can't just live in sin. And the Word of God says in the book of Hebrews that if you be without chastisement, you're bastards and none of His. If you're His sheep, He'll beat the daylights out of you. You can't just live any way you want to live. But there's no peace in a life that thinks, as long as I hold out, I'm going to make it. You will be in turmoil the rest of your days if you believe that. Because there is no peace and no security and no victory in man. None. None. See, I am free as a bird. Let me put it this way. I'm free as a sheep to just graze because I know that I am in His fold and I want to follow Him and love Him. Do I always know? But I thank God that even when I fall, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. That's written to His children and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you part of His sheep? Do you believe on Him? Do you belong to Him? Do you follow Him? Do you hear Him? Are you known of Him? Has He given you eternal life? And will you never perish? You know what this tells me? We have a mighty shepherd, and His name is Jesus. Who is it? It's this man in this chapter. This man. And thank God he became a man. Because he became a man, he can now say, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. That's the traits of this man's sheep. And we're going to pick up there tonight and show you two more things about this man. Please come back to hear it. And if you're not his sheep this morning, he's in the transforming business. You can be saved and become a sheep in the fold of this man before you leave today. And if you are a sheep, rejoice in that you believe on Him. You belong to Him. You know His voice. You're trying to follow Him. He's given to you everlasting life. And He's not going to let anything happen to you. You're in His hand. The mighty hand of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You for this. And I pray You'll help us. Help us to trust You and to believe You. Would You challenge us with this, encourage us with this. And may Your will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I appreciate you listening so well today. God bless you. As they get ready and begin to play through softly, are you 100% sure that you are a sheep in the fold of the shepherd? Can you prove by these traits, hearing His voice, following Him? We're not trying to put our faith in our actions. I'm not saying that. But can you prove by your life that you really are a sheep in this man's fold? Can you get by with sin, just live your own way, do your own thing, and never feel bad about it? No chastisement. Friends, are you a sheep? Are you in His fold? If you are, He's given you eternal life. And He's promised you, you'll never perish. And nobody will ever steal out of God's hand. What security we have. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a sheep. But I sure would like to be in this man's fold. I sure would like to be a sheep in God's fold who loves me so much that He became a man to die for me. Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a sheep, but I want to be. I'm not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything. But if you say, pray for me, I need to be sure I'm a sheep. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm a sheep. Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. Have you say, Jody, I'm a sheep, but God's encouraging me with this message. I realize I have eternal life. And I'm secure in Him, and I just need to rest in that. I need to just rest in that. Maybe God is trying to encourage you today. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. And if God is speaking to you, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come. Even if you're sitting in the middle, folks will be happy just to let you out, to come and talk to God. Father, take it and use it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to sing. You come now. Would you
come
do it?
Every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
All of it. You can look this way as we're dismissed today. Let me encourage you. If you are an usher, I need to meet with you at 5:45. 5:45 tonight, ushers, every one of you, right in your place. We'll meet in the blue room right down the hallway. Thank you for coming today. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Richard Ball, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us, please.